Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Miguel Montano.
And this is Pastor Lily Montano.
And we just want to thank you this morning for allowing us to come and be part of your home today. Thank you again. It's an incredible privilege and an honor that you have chosen to allow us to come into your home this morning. You know, before we start, I just want to encourage you to invite someone to today's service. You know, times have changed. And now it's very easy for anyone to come to service. It's not even intimidating at all. In fact, before people had to wake up in the morning, get their hair did, get their makeup done, get the kids ready, iron your shirt, find your shoes, make breakfast, see you in the car, forgot my Bible, blah, blah, blah. Not anymore. Now the only thing people have to do is click a button and they don't even have to brush their teeth. You know, they don't. They just stay in bed and they could be having church. So I want to ask you this morning to invite someone, a friend, a family member, maybe repost the video. I'm not sure how to do that, but repost the video, repost this service in your timeline. Just invite someone. I promise you, they're going to thank you later. They're going to be strengthened. Yes. They're going to be encouraged. And you never know, most people are only one invitation away from changing their lives forever. So please invite someone this morning.
Yes. Also, if you're in need of prayer, let us know. Write down on the comments that you are seeking someone to help you, okay?
We're awesome. Here for you. Very good. Now, next Sunday is Easter. And I'm asking you today, who are you bringing? Who are you bringing to our service next Sunday? Next Sunday is going to be real cool. It's going to be very out of the box. And we have a special gift for everyone that signs up next week. For next week. So whoever comes next week, they're going to get a special gift. How are they going to get the special gift? And hey, let me tell you, it's not a PDF file special gift. It's not a link to a video. No, not that. A real, a tangible. Should we tell? No, let's not tell.
Let's wait.
So surprise. Next Sunday, come and join us. We have a special gift for you. Invite a friend, invite a family member, invite someone you know. Next Sunday is what? It's Easter.
We would like for you to be dressed up. Okay, make sure. I know that Mihi mentioned that it's okay to be in PJs and not to brush your teeth. Please brush your teeth. Look good. I know that every year you dress up for Easter and for Christmas and you look for the best. So we would like to also see you at your best. So take a picture and let us know. Let us know how you look because you're going to see us dressed up. So we would like to see you.
We're going to dress up. Bow tie and everything.
I don't know about bow tie, but...
Also, a couple more announcements before we go. Today, after the service, if you have the Zoom app, we want you to write this number down and we want to see you in Zoom. Mm-hmm. Because after this service, we're going to have a Zoom chat where I'm going to be there, Pastor Lily's going to be there, a bunch of people from the church are going to be there. So come and join us after service. This is the number. Write it down. I'll remind you at the end of the service. But this is a Zoom chat. The Zoom app is absolutely free. You can download it from the App Store or Android as well. It's absolutely free. And you can join this meeting. This is the number of the meeting. And then we'll see you afterwards. And one more thing before the last thing. For the past couple of days, this past week, this is something that got put in our hearts that we have been doing. I think we've done it 3 times, but I think we have the schedule almost filled for about 2 or 3 more weeks. You know, and during this difficult time, a lot of people downtown in Santa Barbara, primarily the homeless community, they're really struggling. I'm pretty sure you're aware of this, perhaps never really thought about it, but the homeless population, they're primarily just asking people for, you know, begging people for money. And whenever there's activity on State Street, they recycle cans and bottles and that sort of thing.
Yes.
But because State Street is it's empty. If you drive through that thing nowadays, it's completely empty it out. Nothing but the homeless there. So what we've been doing is that we've been going in the mornings to bring them sack lunches. We have done it 3 times already. We call it with the homeless outreach. And if you would like to help out in any way, what we're asking people is to make the brown bags, like the sandwich bags at home, like a lunch bag in your house. You know, nothing, it doesn't have to be anything heavy, no tri-tip or no soup, no liquids. We said from the beginning, no liquids, but you can make a sandwich or make it, you can make a burrito or whatever. So we're asking people if you can make 40 of those, 40, 45, 50 of those bags, and then we'll come and pick them up at your house at 6:30 in the morning, the day off, and then we'll distribute them. And the homeless are so appreciative. And like I said, we only done it a couple times, three times so far, and we're going again tomorrow, Monday. We're going again tomorrow. So they start getting to know us, and they're very appreciative and that we are doing that for them. So I just want to encourage you, if you say, you know what, Pastor, I would like to help. And if, you know, of course, we'll be glad to give you the money. We'll PayPal you. Hello. We're not going to go to your house, but we'll PayPal you the money as long as, you know, you buy their stuff, make the sandwiches or make the brown bags. We'll pick them up from you. If you want to get involved, or maybe you want to help us in the distribution of it as well, just hit us in the DM or see us in the Zoom room later. See us
in the comments.
Oh, write it in the comments. That's very good. Write it in the comments as well. And earlier this week, Pastor Lily shared a word with me that was very encouraging. So I asked her, would she be don't mind to share it today? So will you please share the word with us?
Yes. I also had a little meeting with some of the girls from my life group. And God has been steering this in my heart. It's been all, come on, like maybe this is since last year. One of the we went to the G12 conference last year, and God really stirred my heart to go back to the beginning, to the basic, in a sense. And at times we get really caught up in busyness, we get caught up in our routines, and we do a lot for the church as well, but we think that's enough and that we're doing something as unto God. But God really called us into communion. God called us to seek his presence. And I believe that God was preparing us as a church. I guess, I know that it started with me, in a sense. I got to start steering in my heart. But we noticed as well how our pastors, God was calling them as well to pray, to teach the church about devotions more. Even in the classes, we were teaching them about devotions, and we were going in and explaining the importance of that. But at the end, what God wanted more and more is to reveal himself. And one of the things that we know as a church, that when we spend time in his presence, we're able to hear his voice. There's no distraction, there's no static. So the more we incline our ears to hear him, he will help us, and he will also heal us for anything, I mean, through everything that we're going through. And at this time that we are going through all this, that it's a mandate to be in your home. It's a mandate not to go outside. Imagine how much free time you have. Now you are able to really be at peace with him and just hear his voice. We can make a decision to just get busy and distracted and go into the news, or, let me watch a movie because I don't know what else to do with my time. But we encourage you to really seek his time. I know that I shared in the past, this is the moment to just really seek his presence and rest in him, and not to be worried or anxious. But God brought back to me this past week more and more this. I've been studying Psalm 23, so I wanted to let you know about. I'm going to share just 1, 2, and 3. And I'm going to, I have two translations. I got my little phone here. But out of the Amplified says, the Lord is my shepherd, to feed, to God, to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet waters. He refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This is out of the Amplified. And I wanted to just emphasize here when it says the Lord is my shepherd. Shepherd, it's that sense of protection. That's what he says. God is our protector. And in parentheses, the Amplified says to feed, to guide, and to shield. Yeah. So right now he's shielding you from the outside. He's protecting you for what's going on. The more we seek his presence, the more we can feel that protection. And then number two says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still and quiet water. So it's in that quiet time that he speaks to you. It's in that stillness that he refreshes you. It's in that water that you feel refreshed, re-energized. Imagine that he renews your strength as well. So he right here, number three says, he refreshes and restores my soul, my life. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Righteousness is in right standing. That means he's calling us back to be in right standing with him. Out of the TPT, the Passion Bible says, the Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. He always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in his luxurious love. Imagine that love, that agape love, that love that is more than enough, is sufficient for us. We don't need anything. His tracks takes me to an oasis. Imagine that oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. Though that's where he restores and revives my life. That's all he wants to do. He wants to refresh our life. You know, sometimes in that stillness, that's when we can hear his voice. In that quiet time, we can hear her voice. He wants to probably reveal so many things, but we have a lot of things. We probably have a lot of weed that it's not easy to plug out. But in that stillness, in that immersing of his water, in that restoration, in that time that he's giving that goodness and that flowing, those rivers of living waters flowing in our lives, it's really softening our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we're able, then that's when he's going to be for sure, he's going to plug all those bad weeds, and now we're going to be able to just flow in him. We'll be able to just have more fruits,
flourish
in his presence. And he's going to reveal things. Sometimes maybe at this time he's going to show us things that we need to get rid of. He's going to say, oh, you know what, I wasn't able to dig in, but now in my presence you're so soft and so tender that I can really reveal what I wanted to show you a long time ago. So I encourage you, study this, go back to Psalm 23. Maybe you want to be stuck in 1, 2, 3, or maybe you want to read the whole thing, but let him speak to you through these scriptures. I know that I've been receiving so much, and I know that he wants to do more in your life. So allow him. I encourage you, stick to his word, continue to submerge in his presence, and let him revive you and renew the strength that he wants to renew in you. Amen? Amen.
Good word. Amen. I love that once you're in his presence, water just softens everything and it's easier to plug things out. That's very good. Thank you. You know, before we go on, I know that many of you over the past couple of weeks, you've been asking me how can you submit your tithe and offering. So here is the address. My cameraman, Joshua, give a big shout out to Joshua, my cameraman. Can you see this, Papa Bello? Can they see this?
Yeah.
Can you see it well?
Yeah.
What does it say?
It says Word of Life, P.O. Box 634, Santa Barbara, CA 93102.
Man, if Jesse can read it, you can read it. So I want to encourage you today. This is a place where you can mail your envelope or any envelope, or you can always give your tithe and offering, sow your seed in our website, WOLSB.com. And you can always do it via the app. If you haven't downloaded the app, go to WOLSB.com and download the app. There's a lot of cool, neat things in there. There's the daily devotions, Bible reading, messages, notes. There's a lot of good stuff there. So I want to encourage you to download the app. I want to read you a scripture today to encourage you in your giving out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. And I read you, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth. Listen to what he said, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provide us with everything for our enjoyment. Listen to what he says. He says, not to put their hope in wealth. And you know, at the beginning it says, tell the rich people, but this is to everybody. It applies to every single one of us. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not rich. Trust me, if you have an iPhone in your hand, you're doing better than most people in this planet, way better. Listen to what he says. Put your hope, don't put your hope in wealth, but because it's so uncertain. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've been proof to that, that, you know, people think that they have steady income, steady jobs, but in an instant, things can change. But he says, put your trust, put your hope in God. And I want to encourage you today not to relax in your giving. This is not the time to relax. This is the time to step out in faith and declare the word of God over your finances, because God is your provider. Don't put your hope in your finances. Finances are what? Uncertain. Put your hope in God, and he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never, David says, hey, I was young, now I'm old, and I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. God will make a way when it appears to be no way, but me and you must be faithful in the word, obeying the word. So I want to encourage you, don't relax, but this during this season, continue to give, continue to press in, continue to make a way. Here's the address. If you need any, if you have any questions about the app or about the website, just type it in the comments and somebody will get back with you. But we're going to believe God with you that at the end of this season, you're going to come out better in Jesus' mighty name. Well, bless you. Right now, we're going to show you a testimony of a lady of our church that, man, she got quite a story, but God is always faithful. So take a look at this with us, and we'll be back in a moment.
My name is Carmen Uribe. I was born in Los Angeles, raised in Santa Barbara. At the age of 13, I started running away and thinking that I had to run away to somebody or something. My home life was far from ordinary. Great mother, father that was an alcoholic. Due to my consequences, ended up in juvenile hall and then youth authority. From marijuana, I graduated to other drugs. Alcohol, pills, marijuana. Then I was introduced to heroin. By the age of 23, I had four children and I went to prison for the first time. My son was placed for adoption. Didn't care because drugs were my life. The choices that I made ended up in a spiral from juvenile halls to prison numerous times to Skid Row in LA in a cardboard box. Someone told me about someone that could make my life better. Someone told me that someone loved me enough even though I couldn't love myself. Naturally, being the skeptic I was, I didn't understand what they were talking about. And they told me there was a friend and his name was Jesus. He would never leave me, he wouldn't forsake me, and he would forgive me for all of my garbage, which was a whole lot to face. Someone loves me. Someone really loves me, and I know it's Jesus. And no matter what I go through, I always say, satisfaction guaranteed or your misery back. When I go to work and I work at a homeless center and I see individuals from every walk of life, when they ask me how I am, I say I am too blessed to be stressed. And I just thank God today for the people that are in my life.
What an amazing story, man. That story, every time I see that story, brings tears to my eyes. You know, that family's been coming to our church for a very long time, and God, I've seen the hand of God upon their lives time after time. I wanna, this morning, today's Palm Sunday, can you type in the comments, Palm Sunday, today's Palm Sunday, and I'm gonna read you, I got a little palm tree action here that I went and got this morning out of the, I was gonna get it, Lala, out of the, courthouse, but I end up getting it by the church, by La Cumbre. In Jesus' name. I'm going to read you today out of the book of John, chapter 2, verse 12. While you get your Bibles ready, let's pray. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And today we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. Your word says where two or three are gathered in your name, Father God, you are in the midst of us, Lord. So I thank you, Lord, that today you are Jehovah Shammah, the God that is present. You are here, you are there, you are everywhere, Father God. So I pray for a visitation by your spirit upon every family that is listening today, every individual, Father God. Visit them with the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'm going to read you out of the book of John, chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. It says, "And the next day, a great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And they took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" Verse 16, "At first his disciples did not understand this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things have been written about him and that these things have been done to him." The Bible speaks about, in those days, palm trees represented victory, especially after a battle, a victory after a battle. And here is Jesus entering Jerusalem and everybody's celebrating, and they call him, prophecies being fulfilled, and they call him the King of Israel. But I want to read you again out of the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, because at the end, John has a revelation at the end of times, and watch what he says. He says, "After these things," a book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, 9 through 10, it says, "After these things I look, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits unto the throne and to the Lamb.'" Watch this. It starts when Jesus is about to enter Jerusalem. Everybody's celebrating. And then we see here in the book of Revelation, at the end of times, we still with the palm tree celebrating. And here is very interesting, because I like the word that it uses here in verse number 10. It says, "Salvation belongs to our God." Can you take that, type that in the comments? Salvation belongs to our God. I'm going to write it here. Salvation belongs to our God. Papa, can you see this?
No.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah.
Very good, very good. Salvation belongs to our God. The word salvation that the Bible uses is the word soteria, which means deliverance, preservation, and safety. Think about what I'm about to tell you next. There is no conquering without an enemy. There's never a victory without a battle. And there's no champions without a fight. Now, everybody wants to have victory. Everybody wants to conquer. Everybody wants to be a champion. But nobody wants to fight. So remember, God has called us to fight. The Bible says, the Bible calls it the fight of faith. The fight of faith. God has called us to what? To fight, to be in a battle. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "Fight the good fight of faith." In other words, every believer, me and you, we have been called to fight the fight of faith. The Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. So God has called us to be what? On guard, and to be in a constant what? Fight. If you are on this earth and you are a believer, you have been called to fight the good fight of faith. But I want to put this into perspective for a moment this morning, for a few moments. And I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. And how these are the three pillars of the believer. the three pillars of the believer. But I like the way that Paul's laid this out in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And he's speaking to the church of Thessalonians, and he's kind of encouraging them at the beginning. He's doing like a welcome, a greeting, say, I have heard great things about you. And then he says, you're speaking about the church in Thessalonians, but watch how it comes together. He says, your actions on behalf of the true faith and your tireless toil of love and your unfailing, unwavering, unending hope in our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, before God our Father, have put you consistently at the forefront of our thoughts. He speaks about three things. He says, true faith, tireless love, and unending love. Faith, hope, and love. But I like the how he described them. He says, true faith. Can you type the words true faith? Now, watch this. True faith. Can you say true faith? I cannot hear you. Yashi, you better say true faith.
True faith.
Okay, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. True faith. Watch this. How do you know that something is true, that something is real? It has to be tested. I remember when I was maybe 12 years old, and I grew up in Puerto Rico. And one time there was a little carnival that came to our town. And in the little carnival, you know, I'm 12 years old, you know, I'm having fun at the carnival. We lived nearby where the carnival was. So we would go to the carnival on our own back in the days. And I remember there was a guy selling gold by the inch. And I remember that I went and got me a gold chain. I'm 12 years old. I forgot how much it cost. It wasn't that much. But I got my little gold chain, and I was looking good with my gold chain, so I thought. As soon as I got to my house, my mom says to me, where do you get that gold chain? And I say, the carnival. And then she laughed, and she says, that's not gold. And I say, it is, mom. You know, when you're 12, you know everything, right? So I'm like, it is gold, mom. It is. She said, no, that's not gold. So she kind of laughed. So she says, whatever you do, don't take a shower with it. I say, okay, whatever. Before you knew it, I showered a few times, and before you knew it, my neck started turning green because it was not a real gold. What am I saying? That when true faith must be what? Tested. In other words, true faith must pass the test. In other words, faith, true faith, acts a certain way, responds a certain way, speak a certain way, because the true faith is a what? It's a lifestyle. And he's speaking about me and you. This is the foundation of the believer. Faith is the foundation of the believer. The Bible says that the just shall live by what? Shall live by faith. So faith is not something that people do Sunday mornings. It's not something that we do when we need parking. Oh, Lord, the Lord of parking. Lord, give me parking. No, it's not when we are in trouble. Faith is something that we live by. He said, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. But faith acts, responds, and speaks a certain way. In other words, the Bible said that faith speaks a certain way. So in other words, when a person of faith always declare what the word of God says, you never speak the circumstances. I'm going to show you real quick. This is a story that perhaps you have heard before, the first part of it, but I pray that this will bless you. This is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 20 and 21. Remember, if God is for you, no one can be against you. Book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. It says, Benaiah, the son of Joiada, hey, all these names in the Old Testament, don't worry about it. If you don't know how to pronounce them, just look, do it with confidence, because nobody knows how to pronounce them. So whatever you said, you're good. It's like some people nowadays say quarantine. Well, I like to say quarantine. You know, I just like to say quarantine. Benaiah, the son of Joiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. Talking about Benaiah. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Stop. Everything was against them. He was in a pit, which the geography was against them because you can go nowhere. In a snowy day, the weather, the elements were against them. And a lion came after him. In other words, anatomy, physiology was against him. All those three things were against him. But the Bible says that in spite of all that, he conquer. In other words, faith does not consider the circumstances. Faith does not consider only the word of God. You don't consider the circumstances. You don't consider what you see, because the Bible says that God has called us to walk by faith and not by sight. Perhaps you have heard that story before. Watch the next verse. And he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Woo, Jesus. Now, everything was against him. The guy was bigger than him, better equipped than him, large, all of the above were against him, but he was able to, watch this, use what the enemy meant for evil, and he turned it for good. He didn't kill him with a club, he killed him with the guy, the Egyptian's own spear. So during this season that we are in, whatever you had in life today, just remember, God can use whatever you had today and turn it around for his glory. Faith didn't look, does not look or consider the weather, the circumstances, the terrain, doesn't consider what it sees, because faith is like this. It's like it's settled. Something has been settled in our hearts. You know what? I'm believing for my children. I'm believing for my spouse. I'm believing for my finances. And I believe what God says in his word about my children, my spouse, my finances, and it's been settled. I don't care what I see. I'm standing in faith. Faith, and I am unmovable. Say, oh, Jesus. Can you type there, oh, Jesus? You know what? The enemy's advantage is only an illusion. The advantage that the enemy appears to have is only an illusion. And then he speaks about tireless love. Can we type that in the comments? Tireless love. You know one thing about love? Is that love never fails. Hey, I cheated a little bit. Tireless love. That love never fails. And the Bible says that perfect love casts out all fears. But every time I hear the word love, I tend to associate the word love with the word gratitude. Because I tell you this, I speak from experience. Maybe you're more holy than me. God bless you. But sometimes it's more difficult to love someone that is ungrateful. It's difficult. It's more difficult. Not impossible, of course. But it's more difficult to love a person that is ungrateful. You know, in the Bible, it says, in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, and in the midst of everything, watch that. He's not saying for everything. He's saying in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's perfect plan? That in the midst of everything, you are grateful. You know, we have so many things to be grateful for. We have, you know, sometimes the focus is in the things that we don't have, on the things that are not going right. But trust me, there's a lot of things going wrong right in our lives. So I always like to think of love and gratitude to go together. You have in the middle of every circle, even in the middle of mistakes, perhaps you made a mistake. I'm not saying to be grateful for the mistake, but in the middle of the mistake, you can be what? Grateful. Hear me out, because God is good. And I was listening to a person that wrote a book. I think his name is T.S. Eliot. And maybe I'll butcher this a little bit. Maybe I'll butcher the story a little bit. But the story, it was like he was a psychiatrist in the book. Watch this. It's real good. He was a psychiatrist. And this lady will come and sit on the sofa week after week and telling all the problems and all the things that are going on in her life and all the drama and all the trauma. And when the psychiatrist, of course, he will listen and take notes and counsel her or whatever. But then one day, the lady said, the client, the patient, she said, I wish that all these problems are my fault. And the guy was taken aback, like, what? She says, I hope that all these problems are my fault. And the psychiatrist said, but why? How come? And she says, because if they are my fault, I can fix them. It's real good. She says, if they're my fault, I can what? Fix them. So in the middle of trials, we can be grateful. We can find many things to be grateful for. You know, it's up to us. In other words, we are the ones that let me look for the good things in the midst of every, the word says in the midst of every trial, I got to be thankful. Okay, God, show me in this season or maybe during this time what to be grateful for. I promise you, there's a lot of things that you have to be grateful for, that we all have. You know, I was reading a story about a certain Jewish tradition. It's only a tradition. It's not in the Bible, but that the Jewish people, they try to look for 100 blessings in each day. Think about that, 100 blessings in each day. And the story is that during the times of David, this is, like I said, this is a tradition. It's not true. It's not in the Bible. In the times of David, the children of Israel, they were facing a plague. And the plague was killing 100 men every single day. So one of the priests, the high priest, says, you know what? Let's do this. Let's come up with 100 blessings every single day. And when they did that, the death stopped. Think about it. Every single day, let me ask you a question. What are you grateful for? Can you name 100 blessings every day? Maybe that, what are you grateful for? Dude, I'm really cheating here on my language. What are you grateful for? Focus on the blessings that you have. You know why? Because gratefulness always opens the door for more. Gratefulness always opens the door for what? For more. So when it comes to God, the more you are grateful, the more that you're grateful towards him, the more that you look for the little things and the big things of God in your life that you're grateful for, you just ignite something in the heart of God to provide more and more and more. Let me tell you this. God is very graceful. But I'm going to tell you this. A lot of times, me and you, when a person is ungrateful, you do a favor for somebody and they're ungrateful, that's the last favor we do for them. God is more graceful than that. But I tell you, the same thing applies. The more grateful you are, gratefulness always opens the door for more. And the last point before the last 10. No, just kidding. Unending hope. Can you type that in the comments? Unending hope. Unending hope. Unending hope. The Bible says that hope is the anchor of the soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions, your feelings, the way you see things, your natural things. In other words, the way you feel in the natural, not in the spirit. It says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 from the Passion Translation. It says, we have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Our hope is the anchor to our soul. In other words, without hope, our minds are going in every which direction. Our emotions, they get the best of us. Our emotions are all over the place. Our emotions are driven by the media, by the world, by people. But we just go all over the place. But I like it. He said, he called it an anchor of the soul. In other words, hope, you know, when things come your way, you are establishing hope. You have a hope is an expectancy that things are going to change, an expectancy that God is going to come through for you. You have this thing inside of you that you believe, regardless of what you see, what you hear, my God will come through for me. And things might happen, watch this, and they might move you a little bit to the left and a little bit to the right, but when it's all said and done, when the dust settles, you are establishing what you believe. Hope is the anchor of the soul. Let me tell you, and you know what, you probably won't hear this from many people, but let's be honest. There is not a problem if you wake up one day feeling tired. It's not a problem if you wake up one day feeling anxious. It's not a problem if you wake up one day feeling like giving up. It's not a problem if you wake up one day depressed. None of those things are a problem. The problem is when you think that that is the way that it's supposed to be. When you accept those things, being tired, being anxious, being depressed, when you accept that as normal, when you try to say, well, maybe it's the way, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be. If you wake up one day feeling that way, there's nothing wrong. You've done nothing wrong, but you from there, you gotta wake up. You gotta take off. You gotta declare the word and you gotta turn that feeling away. I mean, you gotta turn it around in your life because God did not die. He did not send his son to the cross. So me and you can be broken, me and you can be down, that me and you can be depressed. No, he sent his son to the cross so me and you can conquer in this life. So don't feel bad if you wake up that way. Take authority in the name of Jesus. Stand on the word when it comes to your life. You know what? If God is for me, who can be against me? I have them declare the word over yourself. I have the mind of Christ. I hold the thoughts and the purposes of his heart. Declare the word of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Declare the word of the Lord over yourself. Continue to speak life over yourself. Waking up that way is not the problem. The problem is staying that way and thinking that is the way it's supposed to be. It is not. Jesus did not send his son to the cross so people can die and live and die an alcoholic. Jesus did not send his son to the cross so people can live and die depressed. Jesus did not send his son to the cross that people can live and die down and out. No, angry and bitter. No, you can feel that way, but that is not what God intended for me and you. Watch this. I'm almost done. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, and with this I close, the book of Ecclesiastes, that there's a time and a season for everything. But then later on in that same chapter, the Bible speaks that God has placed eternity into the heart of man. So there's a time and a season for everything, but there's this thing called eternity. And sometimes we have a hard time understanding this. But me and you are in time. In other words, we live by this thing called chronos. The Bible used the word chronos, chronological, sequential, one after the other. But God lives in eternity. Me and you live in chronos, time, one after the other. But God lives in eternity. However, the Bible says that God declares the end from the beginning. In other words, God knows the end of your story, the end of your story before you start your story. In other words, God knows chapter 28, the last chapter of your story, before chapter 1 comes to pass. But he declares the end from the beginning in your life. And then he says, in the book of Philippians, he says that the good work that he began in you, he will complete by Christ Jesus. In other words, God knows the end of your life. God has preordained the steps for you. The only thing me and you have to do is what? Step into that time frame, in a sense. Step into his calendar, not our calendar. He knows the end from the beginning. In other words, he wants you to prosper. He says, you will prosper, and you will conquer, and you will overcome. He already declares the end from the beginning. He has declared that over you. Now, me and you have got to remember, everything that he started in our lives, he will complete by Christ Jesus, and continue to declare that over your life in Jesus' name. I love you. I want to take a moment to pray for you. And maybe you are listening today and this is the first time you listen, or maybe perhaps you have listened before. And I just want to tell you that God loves you. God is in love with you. God loves you so much that he wants to spend eternity with you. God loves you so much that he wants you by his side for eternity. But there's one problem. We are sinful people and he's a holy God. You see, we have the stain of sin in our lives, and he's a holy God. So in the Old Testament, what they used to do is they used to sacrifice an animal to pay the price for the sins of the people. One day God says, I don't want to do that anymore. And the son said, Father, you can send me. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die on the cross for the sins of humanity. So today, if you're listening today and you say, Pastor, I have never received Jesus in my heart, I have never opened my heart to Jesus, We'd love to talk to you. In a moment, I'm going to pray, but we'd love to talk to you. So just write your name on the comments. We would love to follow up with you. So if you pray this prayer that we're going to pray in a moment for the very first time, I'm going to ask you to write your name in the comments. Hit us in the DM. Hit us in the direct message. We'd love to follow up with you. How about if we pray? If you are opening your heart to Jesus for the first time, I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes, whatever you might be. And I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, dear God, I come before you in the name of Jesus. And today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. Your word says, if I believe that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, I will be saved. Today I choose to believe. And I ask you, Father, to forgive me for all my sins, all those things I ever done that broke your heart. Please forgive me. Today, with that simple prayer, I'm a child of God. Heaven is my home. And I will never be the same again. Thank you, Father, for today is the best day of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. That is so awesome. You know, I want to invite you in a moment, we're going to be right here at the Zoom room. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to come and join us. If you pray that prayer for the very first time today, or perhaps you have been running away from God and you rededicated your life to him today, I want you to come and join us in this Zoom room. These are the numbers. We're going to be there in a moment. And we'd love to meet you and just to get to know you and hook you up with one of our life groups. You know, we have different groups that we meet throughout the week via Zoom as well. So you can still stay in your house and meet in one of our small groups. It's a tremendous blessing. So I want to encourage you to please join us in the Zoom room. Thank you so much for watching today. We'll see you Wednesday in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you much. In Jesus' name, amen. Aloha. Adios.